Chai FM presents South African politics and news with the South African Institute of Race Relations. The IRR show, independent, relevant and real, is hosted by Sarah Gon every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10, promoting life, liberty and property rights.
It seems like we have or are getting Herman on the line. And Herman, do I have you? Hope it doesn't go this way, as I've just been sort of elaborating on. Herman, thanks for joining me. I wanted to drill down a bit because I've given to the listeners an idea of the principles that have been agreed upon, and they are fine sounding, and probably the most important, essentially, are the reiteration of support for the Constitution, the rule of law, and democratic practice in general. What's your take on the extent to which this is likely to be followed by the ANC? I submitted the ANC probably has the most to lose because its survival may very well depend on the success of the GNU. Am I being too kind to the ANC and making anywhere near the right assessment on it?
No, I think you're quite spot on. We've been having, I mean, if you look at entertainment over the last decades, one of the really key marketing points of all films and TV series and books have been nostalgia. If you could be nostalgic enough about a reboot, a reiteration, a sequel, a prequel, a reinvention, a female, a recast, I mean, if you could milk those nostalgia points, you're in the game. And what we're seeing, I think, here is something quite similar. I mean, just the chosen name, Government of National Unity, and the repetition of that idea, provincial level governments of provincial unity. This all is sounding very 1993, 1994 like. But there are a few key differences that some of them make a new government of national unity perhaps more likely to work, but the weight of I'd say the bulk of them fill my mind with some skepticism. Firstly, the mission of the government of national unity. If we think back to 1994, everyone knew before the election that it was a constitutional requirement for a government of national unity to be brought into existence on some principles. And also the CODESA negotiations and the interim constitution made the objectives of that government of national unity quite clear. Almost the national interest, if you want, was codified. Restructure the provinces, restructure the police, get a constitution adopted, restructure the civil service. You know, it was a very clear task. We don't have that now. And that is one of my main concerns with this idea of, oh, it's all hunky-dory. We need to understand, the politicians, especially the DA, I think, need to understand that this is the beginning of an arduous process to figure out what success or failure for this government of national unity will look like. The markets are loving it. But as I was saying to my wife last night, there's a difference between being pro-market and being pro-markets. The markets, in the plural, are asset managers, short-term thinking, oh, I like this, I'll move these assets from here to there. We are free marketeers in the sense that we want the diligence of consumer affordability and service to be the key driver of ideas. So while the markets might like this move at this stage, we must understand that it is nostalgic, it is sentiment-based, it is hope, and dare I say it, it is clearly reminiscent of something that starts with a Rama and ends with a Fourier.
Yes. No, as we know, you know, markets, let's say business, generally, as you say, both short-term and not, shall we say, a little politically naive. They desperately want a good story to be a justification for considering investing in the country. What is your sense of the sort of reality check for the DA, with given the history of what should have been in 94 and where we are now with all those missing elements? Surely the DA has to have entered into this with a modicum of shall we say, healthy skepticism. Everything has to be proved. Targets have to be met. Things like government posts, ministerial posts. I think the bottom line is, you're right, we're looking at a long process. So it's not going to be always clean. It's going to be messy at times. It's going to be fractious at times. But we can't expect immediate results. And I think the expectations element is going to, of society, is probably going to be one of the most difficult things to manage.
Especially for the DA and the IFP,
mm-hmm.
who come into this with an onus of establishing change. The ANC and the ANC's behavior in power and in government is baked into the judgment of the public.
Mm.
The ANC, to only meet the threshold of as expected, only really needs to do what it's been doing, and that is sort of stagnating in a failing way.
Mm.
The ANC and the DA, the IFP and the DA, have an onus of making change possible. Now, whether it's physics, politics, or whatever, it is difficult to get a status quo in motion.
Mm.
You need a vast amount of momentum to change what has become a bloated stasis.
Mm.
So the DA must be very clear that I'm reading a brilliant book by Tim Shipman, a journalist for the London Times, who wrote these three books about the Brexit process,
mm-hmm.
And the fourth one coming later this year. And if there's one thing that you understand, that reading these books make clear, it is that every jot and tittle, every comma, colon, semicolon, paragraph space, these things matter in the dynamics of power games, because it prioritizes instinctively what's important.
Mm-hmm.
So the DA and the IFP must understand that they are setting themselves up for almost grammatical guerrilla warfare in the interpretation of what must now come. And I would say the four things to look at for the success of this GNU effort are, do excuse the alliteration, it is power, pragmatism, politics, and parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Power, pragmatism, politics, empowerment, and parliament. Power. Who gets to decide what and when? And how is that communicated to the people? Because I love South Africans, and South Africans have long been the countervailing force against the most stupid, extreme ideas. But I always say that the South African voter is no fool, but is not sophisticated.
Mm.
And that's completely understandable. In a country where you wonder whether your child is going to have food to eat tomorrow, you're not going to be terribly concerned about which cabinet minister made which decision. So if we look at the politics element of it, we need to really appreciate that if there's government success coming out of this GNU, the public isn't going to go, this success comes from a DA or an IFP or an ANC-controlled ministry. Oh, political credit to them.
Mm.
This is going to be a communication challenge to communicate the power to the public that the DA and the IFP have never faced in their lives. Mm. Then we can go on to the pragmatism.
Mm-hmm.
Pragmatism on what will there be the most sort of pressure? There are fundamentally conflicting ideas. The ANC has, to my mind, two unifying factors at this stage. The popularity of Cyril Ramaphosa, despite everything we've been through, he remains the most popular politician in the country. And the second unifying factor the ANC has is the patronage networks.
Mm.
So the patronage networks is possibly my greatest source of concern for the cohesion of this government of national unity.
Mm.
Because you can have the best ministers in the world, you can have the best policies in the world, but the civil service, the cadres that have been rolled into government over the last 30 years, are the people responsible for implementing the actions. If the ANC sells out its coalition partners to maintain its patronage networks of the cadre, then you have a situation where nothing changes.
Yeah.
Nothing really changes, and the DA and the IFP fail. If you have a situation where the ANC sides with its new coalition partners, and the civil service thinks, my word, our political backs are no longer covered by the ANC, they might swing to other parties. They might become a political actor in and of themselves. And then there's the question of policies. What now, NHI? What now, BEE? What now, expropriation without compensation? What now, minimum wage? And then lastly, Parliament. Who's going to hold this government to account in Parliament? Will it be MK? Will it be the DA sort of asking itself some searching questions? These four P's, power, pragmatism, politics, and Parliament, are the things that will make or break this coalition.
In the process, I mean, this is the nuts and bolts that we talk about are really still to be decided. And
I think the bolts, perhaps, the nuts are all there.
Yes, and as long as Fikile Mbalula is a part of government, we can happily expect that entertainment you referred to. Just surmising, because I think this is, you know, this is part of those bolts thing. To the extent that the DA could get ministries, what ministries do you think the DA could really have an effect over? And I assume, given the fact that one of the demands would have to be that the ministries are entirely theirs to control, there's outside interference will not be welcome. So where would they really could possibly make a difference?
Finance obviously is at the top of the list, but I think that's an overly ambitious ask. I can't see a governing party giving up the finance portfolio, essentially the most powerful position in the cabinet system. But beyond that, the DA, I think, wisely and pragmatically, from what we can pick up, has been pushing for the COGTA ministry, the cooperative government, to be split into cooperative government and traditional affairs, two separate ones where they are currently a single departmental entity. Now, the DA has built its entire brand on local government success, if we're going to be honest. 50% local government success, or even 70% local government success, and the remaining pillar and percent proportion is their fight against corruption. These two things make up what define the DA. So if you are going to be a DA minister, you want to ensure that you can play to your strengths. And that means that cooperative governments, the national minister that works with provincial governments, that works with local governments, that would be a good one for the DA to opt, because it's not a flashy ministry. It's not a ministry that's going to set the headlines on fire, but it is a ministry that's going to make it easier for the DA to play to its strengths in local government and even, you know, let's whisper this, expose the ANC failures in local government. Then the second point.
Can I ask you just to hold on the second point while we go to an ad break, and then we'll look at the development thereon.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Thanks, Herman. Back to you. You were going to make a second point about the DA holding the ministry that would be a cooperation and development on the one hand, that's their metier, and hiving off traditional affairs to another department.
Yes, and that would also be a pragmatic move, because it will give the IFP the opportunity to take the traditional's affairs, traditional leaders' affairs, and we know the IFP, heavily baked into the DNA as a party and as a movement, has long been its relationship with especially the Zulu monarchy. So that would be, I think, a wise move from the DA, and it seems to be what they're pushing for. The next issue, I think there are three further possible portfolios that the DA should go to some trouble to gain. Number two would be transport. Transport is an immensely visible and valuable portfolio. People can see the roads working, or can see the railways working, and the businesses will immediately see the movement of labor and of stock and of manufacturing. You know, so that is something that I think of all the cabinet departments is quite scoped in its identity. If the trains start running on time, no one's going to wonder, oh, is this Home Affairs?
Yes.
I think it's going to be quite clear that the political credit will go there. And it'll have real economic benefits. If we can get South Africans moving easily between their places of residence and their places of work, and products between their places of manufacture and their destinations of market, I think that'll be a wonderful unlocking of potential that has degenerated.
Yeah.
Then I think mineral resources and energy,
okay,
the load shedding, the mining question. And then lastly, which I think is perhaps something of a stretch, is healthcare. Because if we're going to see one contentious issue arise, it's going to be the NHI. Possible now that the NHI was signed into law just to be a leverage in negotiations from the ANC side, but it is going to be critical to see if people can experience a difference of this government. So in short, what the DA and the IFP and the PA and GUD and, you know, the change parties, the non-ANC parties in this GNU must go for are the places where they can make decisions that will actually tangibly within the next 2 years affect the lives of ordinary South Africans. Because 2 years from now, we're at the local government elections.
Right.
And South Africans don't like praising parties that have nothing to show.
Right, right. So there's certain pressure to achieve a certain amount quickly, even if the rest takes much longer. Just an interesting question. I mean, I've just seen a comment by Action SA saying that, you know, it's going to go into the sort of unsullied opposition, and is going to hold the GNU to account, but it's also going to be, you know, productive, etc. But they were sort of miffed that they weren't specifically invited to attend the GNU. Now, they've only got six seats in Parliament, and the sort of parties that would go support them, as my quick count suggested, only 10% at best. Can the Action SA actually make a difference that way, or is it actually likely to be subsumed by the filibustering and racism and general poor behaviour of MK and EFF as the larger opposition parties?
The Action SA's fundamental challenge is whether they can shake the identity of a petty spoiler that they've built up over the last 2 years. Came out swinging, had a decent 2021 local government election, attracted some funding, attracted some politicians with some name recognition, some doing some heavy lifting there. So Action SA has had a disappointing election campaign, possibly because they have been considered, fairly or unfairly, whatever the case may be, they've been considered to be out to get the DA and screw with them as much as possible. Now, this is a golden opportunity for them to redefine themselves. They can be the moderate opposition, the independent, fair-minded, critical party that is in Parliament, that makes good speeches, that pitches to committee meetings, that can show they are not in this just to get into a sort of a tug of war over who is the better opposition party with other parties. Now, six seats is a small caucus, but it's not the smallest caucus. If we think back, the DA had the DP had a similar sort of caucus size between 1994 and 1999. So there's real upward momentum, upward potential. But the first thing they have to secure is a fair listening from donors. Donors, especially for the small parties. Small parties need to have the good faith of some donors to say, okay, this is a project I think worthwhile. I'll give you the money, spend it well. So the first thing they need to do, their, I think, short-term 6 months to a year challenge, is to show their bona fides, to redefine themselves as the responsible opposition and not the petulant a child in the back seat that I think they've morphed into to their detriment because they couldn't afford a good election campaign and they couldn't find a good result.
Am I correct in saying that their support base is in fact fairly conservative? It's not it would want to see common sense positive results. It's not there's no radicalism there.
Yes, and the thing that I always, I mean, if you look at the research locally or globally, to understand what moves the voter to go with this party or that party, in the end, it isn't complex, but it isn't easy. And that is, it's the question of values. If you look at opinion polls, whether it's for parties or candidates, parties that score well on the cares about people like me and shares my values are the parties that do well.
Right.
That is, I mean, the whole populism rise of the last decade gets bad rap. And you know, I'm by no means a populist, but what the populists have been getting right is that enough people feel they care about people like me and they share my values. Now, that means you have to almost have a line of production into what your identity is. It starts with ideology and convictions. It moves over to policies. Policies move over to actions. Actions move over to message. Message to communication. Communication to vibes and values. So to get to that point of vibes and values, to have people answer in the affirmative, yes, Action SA cares about people like me and shares my values, you're quite right. There isn't a radicalism there that wants to destroy the Constitution or wants to expropriate the land or introduce the laissez-faireist of free market economies. There's quite a good old values offering that ASA can define for themselves. And in that sense, the Freedom Front Plus, the ACDP, and Action SA could become a quite useful, moderate, pragmatic, you know, let's whisper it, populist bloc that South Africans can look to and say, these people care about people like me and they share my values. And there's a route for them to take if they have the wherewithal to take. Good.
Herman, I'm going to go to the ad break because I just want to ask you a last question. And usually I go into the last five minutes. Very briefly, I will ask you about
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Herman, Jacob Zuma was 4 hours late for his own press conference, and the headline to his press release, which went on for thousands of words, was a white-led unholy alliance between DA and ANC of Ramaphosa. In 2 minutes, is there much more to be said about how the fact that it's likely to be completely unconstructive?
No, I don't think so. It is a party that got the timing of this election right. It was just early enough to gather momentum and just late enough not to spectacularly collapse by voting day. But at the end of the day, the thing that that we could add to our previous discussion of values and cares about people like me is you need the logistics of a political party to accomplish the basics. And MK clearly had that. They got their people registered, or they tailgated onto the registering efforts of the IFP and the ANC, and the people got out to vote. But now, a party that is divided in what it aims to do, seems incompetent, isn't a party that can really drive a momentum or a movement with momentum. And the problem is that MK, for all its ills, had something of a clear message going into this election. And that message might now get diluted if they can't get a proper structure in place and use the political tools at their disposal to now push that message. Now, a caveat here, you and I might not be the primary targets of this message, so we might not see it develop as we think it should in a traditional way, but it certainly is a worrying factor for MK that they seem not to have had an elegant or even a structured effort in terms of negotiating for control of KZN. So to me now, this party is a loose cannon that might shoot itself in the face or might fundamentally just become the most destructive, couldn't care less anarchist opposition that we've seen in a while.
Oh, good grief. Surprise. Herman, thank you very much for your analysis. And unfortunately, we will be writing and talking about it for the foreseeable future, if not for years. And thank you very much.
A great pleasure to be with you, Sarah.
I have to offer the good services of the IRR in that respect, and to go to dailyfriend.co.za, where we will write about the good, the bad, and the ugly, as long as there's something worthwhile to say. And our podcasts live 1:30 on Mondays and Fridays, and pre-recorded raps, 10-minute raps, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, which come out in the late afternoon, early evening. So we will keep you informed as best as we can, and just hang on to the edges of your tables. We are in for a hell of a ride. See you next week.